Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires would be Joe Crazy Rider. However, this is another two-part episode. That's right, you're getting another three podcast episode week. Because there's a solo podcast coming up on Thursday. Ooh. With a special surprised guest. Woo! But back to this episode, we left off after finally finishing up the premier publishers in the November previews catalog. That's right. Joe and I are going through previews, ordering as if we were ordering for a store, the store that we talked about in episode 150. Kind of the big store that would have, Joe said something like 3,000 square feet. This is kind of our dream store and what we would do if we were to open a comic shop, much like the size of the previous Hot Comics, Hot Comics St. Paul on White Bear Avenue, the final incarnation of Joe's version, which was a 3,000-foot store with toys and trades and comics and back issues. And we are ordering as if we were running that store. So as we go through, we talk about things not from a fanboy standpoint, but from a retailer standpoint, because retailers look at comics very differently from the way a fan looks at them. Such as me, I absolutely adore the Craig Yeo reprints. But a book like The Worst of Eerie Publishing, we wouldn't be able to sell that to anybody but a nerd like me. Come on! So, we pick up as we get to the rest of the catalog. Now, one of the points we're going to make is that this is like 90% of the catalog is the small press books, the t-shirts, the novelties, the DVDs, the games, the statues, the stuff like that. So in this episode, we go over all of that stuff. And while it may be the majority of the catalog, it is not the majority of the sales. So here we go.
I kind of, and when going through this next section, I started writing down notes, and then eventually I got to a point where I just had to stop. Because there were things like when you get to Aardvark with all the Cerebus books. I mean, we always had the Cerebus books in stock. And at the store our size, I would probably just make sure at least one was in stock. Pretty much any comic that was $5 or less, I would make sure we had one or two copies for the shelf. You know, the first page, page 240 of previews, that's talking Rachel Rising, number 31, which is Terry Moore's current book. Fight Like a Girl, number 3, which is a 4-issue series from Action Lab Entertainment. Harold, Lovecraft, and Tesla, number 2. I did put a yes down for Hero's Cat, just because it read interesting, and it was a type of book that's kid-friendly and you'd want to put in the kids section. But as I went through, I mean, there were just, I kind of just wrote yes for anything beyond that I would buy. There's certain publishers like Amazing, Slave Labor. They've got Johnny the Homicidal Maniac t-shirt. Oh yeah, you know we'd be all over that. The Cave Woman from Amaral Entertainment. Most of the books are cover price, but then he's also doing the higher price collectible books where there's, and this month seems to be all about zombies. And then of course I got Archie's, where I kind of fell off, because after that I realized, you know, this is just kind of like a list of comics. Arch Afterlife with Archie, yes. Sabrina, yes, both variants. Archie, yes, both variants. Comic Digest. One of the coolest things I ever got for Hot Comics St. Paul was from Archie. They gave me a specialty rack that fits Comic Digests. Now, I never sold Comic Digests the way the comics sold, where people would want them the next issue. People would just buy them, and I would restock them. I wouldn't necessarily order them based on the number. So just because I ordered 258 doesn't mean I'd order 259. But if I suddenly sold a bunch, then I would order more. But it was kind of a neat thing because I remember talking to the Archie guy and he said, do you ever buy that digest? And I was like, well, not really. I had a tough time displaying them. Well, if I gave you this, do you think you would do it? And I looked at him and go, oh yeah, you know I would. So see,
One of the things Archie is doing with their digest, they've kind of reformatted them a little bit. And they have what are now, remember when they had the Archie double digest?
Oh yeah.
That were just part of a regular series. Now, because paper went up and prices went up and everything, they have the regular digest, but they pick one every month to be a jumbo digest. And I buy those personally myself because they have a couple new stories, they have a bunch of old stuff, but they also have a section in the middle of, here's some Archie stories from the 40s, and we're going to have a little article about them, and here's some from the 50s. And they feel more like a nice big trade paperback. And I would make sure that, you know, whatever we order, we're ordering the jumbo digests. There is the Afterlife with Archie magazine. For some reason, Afterlife with Archie, the comic, is kind of on hold, even though it sold really well. And they're reprinting it magazine size. And I have shown people who aren't comic book fans Afterlife with Archie, the first couple issues, and they love it. You and I have talked about it's one of those books that could have gone very wrong and didn't. So I think we would highlight the magazine as well, and I wouldn't put it with the Archies. I think that was all I had about Archie. Yeah. But, you know, you're going to have people who are, they're going to order the Sonic books. They're going to this.
Oh, yeah.
You want to have a nice smattering of the Archie for the kids. And if they do something special, like when they did the Kiss books, or, you know, they're doing a bigger story that's going to get a little publicity and press, you're going to order more of those. But for the most part, Archie, you know, four or five of each one, they're not going to sell this month. It'll take them a year to sell, but they sell.
Oh, yeah. The only other thing I've got a note in Aspen, and Aspen Comics, again, we would have a track record of how they sell. I had a note saying I would probably order one of each statue, but no more than one. And they have a Fathom Aspen Matthews statue, and, there's a Black Armor statue as well. Again, we would have an Aryan back that would be kind of a, oh, what do we call it? Kind of like a arts area, you know, where under glass. And, you know, these are nice looking statues. If anybody ordered an extra, fine. But I would definitely order one of those statues. Now, there's another book that's out that's interesting because the original writer, well, I'm sorry, we're not talking Miracle Man. Alan Moore is doing Crossed Plus 100 with Avatar. Crossed is a, basically, it's like a zombie slash sex book where if you get the disease, you get this weird cross on your face and you want to screw and eat everything that you screw. So it's very graphic. And now Alan Moore's got his fingers on it, so to speak. And it too has tons of variants as well as limited edition CGI copies plus ultra put together sets. I know the people who read Crossed, and believe me, there's people who read it that surprise that they read it, generally enjoy it. And I have a feeling if you were buying Crossed, you would definitely want to buy the Crossed 100. But I'm not sure how, I wanted to get your feedback, Corey, on what you thought about the various, well, Avatar, let's put it blunt, is variant happy. Everything they do comes with tons of variants. And even if they do it, they'll come back months later when they're on issue 12 and do a number 2 variant. What do you think on these Avatar variants?
My thing with Avatar is they get big name writers, but because of their house art style, they never seem to get any traction. Warren Ellis has been working with them for years, and you never hear people talk about the books he does there. Same with Garth Ennis. Yeah, the Warren Ellis books, okay. He'll start a book and then has he finished any of them? No. Garth Ennis finishes his, but people don't seem to care. I think the Alan Moore thing, he's doing a comic. First off, Avatar has lied to me a number of times about Alan Moore comics, where it's, oh, it's an Alan Moore short story and Joe Brony is doing an adaptation of it. That's not the same. The variants I would order for people who wanted them. I don't think anybody who's not ordering them is going to care. Crossed plus 100, the Alan Moore one, I would give it a try. But does League of Extraordinary Gentlemen Century sell very well? We would know. I don't think it does. I think Alan Moore has become one of those guys who people buy their books, and those aren't people who come into your comic shop every month to pick up a monthly comic.
See, now I'm almost on the other way with the variants, because I would order them, and I don't think they would sell in the store, but I think they would sell on eBay. Because I've had pretty good luck when I order a variant through Avatar, and if I don't like it, I can put it on eBay, and it usually sells.
Yeah.
Again, not a lot of stores are even buying them. So when somebody's online, they'll look at them, and more than likely, if it's priced fair, they're going to pick it up. I don't know if I'd necessarily go to the CGC area. Maybe Corey and I should talk about that some future podcasts, because some stores are real big into the CGC, the sending in, the slabbing of books. I mean, I'm certainly not against it, especially when we get these really silly, you know, 1 in 300 variants. I would definitely offer it as a service to our customers. If you want me to send in your books and get them slabbed for you, so be it, because we get a piece of the action doing that. But as far as carrying them in the shop, I'm not that interested. But some shops are. Some shops make a good living doing that. And again, I made a good living selling tons of toys. Not every shop likes to do that, so.
Yeah. Well, not all every shop can do that.
Yep. For the most part, if you're looking at a publisher, okay, I'm looking at Boom. Again, George Perez is doing a Sirens book, 6-issue miniseries with variants. I'd be all over that. I would definitely make a big splash on it. Hey, look, George Perez, try to get that attention, just like we talked about with Hickman. And more. When you get a new title out, like Burning Fields, I would be maybe two for the shelf, depending on what pre-orders are. If it's a tie-in, like they've got Escape from New York, they got Dawn of Planet of the Apes, they got Sleepy Hollow. Again, Sons of Anarchy is published by Boom, Big Trouble in Little China. You know, again, I would have a media section where I could display these and leave them there, you know, so maybe somebody might not buy Sleepy Hollow today, but they would buy it tomorrow. For the most part, if it's not tied into that, I would probably just order two for the shelf. And you can do that over and over for everybody. Because of the size of the shop that Corey and I are running, two for the shelf.
The only one I would highlight, because I look at a lot of the properties, like Big Trouble in Little China. Oh, there's a 30-year-old movie that no one's done anything with for years. Hellraiser sold so poorly that no one has picked up the license till just now. Clive Barker's Nightbreed, again, 20-year-old property, who cares? RoboCop, the last movie that came out. I doubt Joe even remembers it when it came out.
I did. I ignored it. But see, I also look
Jim
at
Henson's
it.
Fraggle Rock.
I also
no one cared about
it.
Fraggle Rock when it was on. Order it for the subscribers, maybe one or two for the shelf.
No, that goes in the kids' books. So you definitely want, but see, the difference is with your thinking is people thought that way when Star Wars came out at Dark Empire. So I'm always very cautious when you give that because, yeah, I can't, you know, hey, look, Big Trouble with Little China. What? Half the people won't know the books are, but there will be people who will. And those people aren't necessarily going to be in right away. That's why I want the special section with just the media tie-ins. Because I can guarantee if we were in a mall, if we had a big window and we put all these comics in the window, you're going to get somebody in going, huh, I didn't know they had a Escape from New York comic. Let me pick those up. Because, again, that's if we're trying to – if we were in a mall store and we're trying to make a window display to get people in, these are the properties that are going to get people in. People aren't going to come in with Teen Dog. They're not going to come in necessarily with She-Hulk. They're not going to come in with Constantine. Well, Constantine maybe now because it's a TV program. But those properties, they're not – you're only going to give those to the people who are coming to your shop because you're a comic store. Not people are just going to wander in off the street because they happen to catch your display. And again, we haven't talked about if our store is a freestanding store, if it's part of a mall, part of a strip mall. But again, the best display I ever had at Hot Comics St. Paul were non-comic properties on a backboard like I used at a con because people would see that and come in and go, huh, you guys got Kiss Comics? Cool. And that's who you would catch doing that.
See, here's the difference in how you and I think on this. I wouldn't put those in a window. Then people will think you're a nostalgia store. You know what I would put in the window? I'd put Adventure Time. That's a hot property. It's new. It's not 30 years old. You're not going to be pulling in 50-year-old guys. You're going to be pulling in.
I think you're stereotyping here. 50-year-old.
Yes, I am.
No, you see, again, it doesn't matter. If it sell, you know, you look at things. How many sold nation in the whole comic industry? I'm looking at what's going to sell in my store.
Right.
I don't want the store
to be a nostalgia sector.
Well, we are.
Joe, you got it.
We're
nostalgia books, sells once.
Comic books are niche. It doesn't matter how long or how many podcasts we go going through the previews catalog. We are selling right now to such a small segment of the entire United States. If you're not operating a comic shop as a niche store, you're going to fail. That's the bottom line. That's what kept me going for 10 years. I wasn't selling as a general retail store. I wasn't in a mall. I had a plan to do it if I was. But again, yeah, someone's going to see Adventure Time and come walking in. But I think you dismiss other properties too quickly just because they're 20, 30, 40 years old. If they had thought the way you thought Star Wars would have died the minute Dark Horse got a hold of it.
Nope, Star Wars wasn't even 10 years old at that point. Joe, it was dead.
People were laughing. They're coming out with Dark Horse? Not going to happen. Star Wars was a dead property. It was not at Hot Comics because we were genuinely excited about it. I watched it again when Lucas came out with the remade original trilogy. Oh, my God, a 20-year-old movie they're putting out again? That's not going to be big. It was. So I don't
ask you a simple question. It's your big shop. When you put that stuff in the window, did you put in Buffy the Vampire Slayer, X-Files, and Xena, or did you put in the Mod Squad, Valley of the Giants, and Space Family Robinson?
Well, first of all, those are old Gold Key books that weren't being published. I'm dealing what's in previews. It's a new comic, and it's not going to stay in the window forever. But I'm telling you, people will see it. People will come in. It's just the way it works.
More people will come in
you
for Adventure Time.
Fear nostalgia. I embrace it. And I sold for 10 years.
I don't want the store to be nothing but nostalgia.
It can't be nothing but nostalgia. Look at what we just spent 3 hours going through. And we still have half the catalog to go through.
See, I could give you tons of examples of you can get the nostalgia pop. You can. but nobody comes back again and again and again for nostalgia. Look at when Hulk Hogan came into TNA. You watched for a month. Hogan was there for 4 years. How long did you watch?
I don't think you're quite grasping what you're selling here, though. That's, you know.
No, it's, you know what? Big Trouble in Little China. Not a hit.
Maybe somebody's going to buy it. We don't know.
Right. But in your window, you're going to push Adventure Time, which sells
to kids.
That's
assuming we have a window. You know, we can't. This is an argument we got to save for another podcast because we haven't talked about where the store is. If we had a Best Buy type store, which is what our store is sized at, we don't have a window. We don't have a piece of anything to display to anybody. If we're in a mall and we have a window facing out into the general mall, I'm thinking like a Eden Prairie or something like that. Again, how much space do we have? Will we put Big Trouble in Little China? No. Might we put Sleepy Hollow? Possibly. That's a current show. I might put Constantine in there. I might put Dawn Planet of the Apes, or maybe not because it's not current. Star Wars would definitely go in it.
That's based on the new movie.
Yeah. But again, there's no reason. Sons of Anarchy, it's over. Is that something we want to put in the window? Maybe, maybe not. Do we have like my Hot Comics where I had a beautiful window display that I could fill every month? You know, again, we haven't laid out what the store is, where the store is. Any property that has any type of value outside of comics is something you could advertise. Does Boom give me a poster to advertise Big Trouble in Little China? Probably not. Will Marvel give me a big ass Star Wars poster? Well, you can probably pretty well believe it. And I can't help but think DC may have come up with Arrow, Flash, and Constantine. Well, maybe.
No, they're not going to push Constantine because it's already dead.
And Adventure Time, oh, yeah.
Constantine is a zombie. It's a show that's been canceled, but it's still walking.
Adventure Time's just like My Little Pony. That would be one. Garfield. Again, we're still in Kaboom. That would be something I would definitely want to catch people's attention with. I don't look at, you know, anything that's got a tie-in with something else. Hell, if you really want to catch some people's eye, put Mr. Natural number 3 in the window. Because you're going to catch, seriously, some guy's going to walk by and go, oh my God, that's Crumb. And then they come in and they can see the Crumb stuff we got.
You haven't seen the cover of Mr. Natural number 3 in a while,
have you? I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, you don't want to have a naked guy.
I don't mind. We'll put it right next to My Little Pony.
There you go.
And I'd put Bone in there too. Bone's another book. Make sure we have everything in stock.
Yep.
Speaking of old properties.
Oh my God, yes.
Yes, we are moving in.
Dynamite.
Oh.
I look at Dynamite and go, I hope you guys are sitting on a big pile of cash because you're about to publish a whole bunch of books that nobody's going to give a shit about.
You know, Twilight Zone, maybe. Again, that's one of those that you might catch somebody's eye. But yeah, these, I looked at these.
Twilight Zone didn't sell when JMS was writing it. It's not going to sell now. No one cares.
No. See, I'm not trying to catch the comic guy. I'm trying to catch the schmuck who walked by, quite possibly watch Twilight Zone either in movie or TV show and might stop in and look at it. Same thing you would do with Star Trek or Star Wars, you know.
But I like how they have a 25 copy variant. No, it's going to put 25 copies of that dog on the shelf.
I don't know what to think about them on those.
The kid feature stuff. It didn't sell when Marvel had it. It didn't sell when Gold Key had it. These books have never, ever, 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 ever sold. If Marvel can't sell it.
Now, how is,
can't sell it.
Is like Magnus, Solar, and Turok selling?
Terrible.
Cause yeah, again, all these properties here.
And they've got two named people on them.
But it's, oh, God, really? Jim Shooter tried it at Dark Horse, failed miserably, lost money. Now it's at Dynamite, sells miserably, no one cares.
They have a few, again, you know, that I would want to promote a little heavier. Alice Cooper.
I did have a note here. The Chaos Books. I don't know how well they're selling.
Oh, those.
But the Chaos merchandise. Order as many as possible. The Chaos fans buy everything.
I don't know if they're still buying these. I mean, maybe these. All I remember is Avatar blowing out all their Lady Death variants.
No, I'm not talking the comics. I'm talking the merch. The smiley, the psychotic button.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All that stuff. That stuff. Even, you know, at your shop, Chaos had a level of sales. But it didn't matter what merch you got in. Their merch sold. Oh, yeah. The stats, the buttons, the shirts, all of it.
Not enough to keep them in business.
No. Because I think most stores were like, well, nobody's buying the comic. Nobody's going to buy this stupid button. But people looked at it and went, that's a cool button. They didn't know anything about it, but they wanted the button.
Do you have, are you looking in previews or are you in the order pack?
I'm in the order pack.
Okay. Can you get page 315 in previews? I don't know what that corresponds.
Yeah, Superbooks.
This is Dynamite Premium and Signature Series.
Oh, yeah.
I was curious what, if any of these you'd be interested in.
It depends on the online sales because these are going to sell online.
Well, see, I'd look at these.
So if it's, you have to order 40.
No, no.
You have to order 60. No, fuck that.
No, no. These are just ones you order straight out.
Then,
if you want the Alice Cooper number 5 with Alice Cooper's gold signature, it's a percentage of $200.
Yeah.
Cause there were.
No, the stuff sells online.
There were 5 books I saw that I would consider buying. And again, it was the Alice Cooper, both with his signature and the rare variant edition. The Dawn Vampirella, just cause.
Because no matter what, Linsner sells.
And then there was a legendary steampunk adventure, high end, blah, 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 only 50 made.
With Joe Benitez art.
And that was something, that's the type of things that I used to buy and I would sell, not in the store, but on eBay.
Yeah.
So, but again, out of, what are they offering? 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They're offering like about 20, 30 different variants. We didn't even talk about Shaft.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm flipping through previews.
Based on the books that no one has read.
I'm just flipping through previews. Drawn in-
I will say this about Django Zorro. This is Quentin Tarantino's first comic. He's excited about it. He's actually put together a soundtrack you can listen to online while you read it. It's him and Matt Wagner working together. This is a book that I would push because it's Quentin Tarantino writing a comic. He's never written a comic before, and he's a huge fanboy.
Now, on Dynamic Forces, again, all they do is signed and rare stuff.
You did jump over a couple that I wanted to talk about always. Inventory.
Yeah, because there's always something.
The John Stanley Library. He was the guy who did Nancy comic books, Tubby comic books. He's one of the great kids comic creators. I've picked up a lot of these books. They're fantastic. We would want them in the store.
Yeah, see, these books, again, I have down that we got them. We're going to have them. We're going to have a full set of these in back. We're going to have the Peanuts from Fan Graphics. We're going to make
the EC archives.
Oh,
there are two types of EC books being published. One are the archives, which is everything. And then Fantagraphics is doing, here are Jack Davis stories. Here's, Wally Wood stories. Here's, Harvey Kurtzman stories. This would be the area where if somebody came in, I would be the one. I'm the big EC guy.
Oh, yeah.
And the other thing about EC is it sells slow, but it always sells. If you look at the, you know, I've got the slipcase that they put out in the 80s. Those still sell. They're now going for like $700, $800, $900 each. You put them up on eBay, they're gone in a week. These are all, they're perennials. The dynamic forces, I know that they used to sell a long time ago in your shop.
Well, it depends on what it is, too. I mean, yeah. You're talking, a lot of these are variants from different Comic Cons.
Yeah.
Some are like Midtown. I mean, that's the big store in New York. I would be tempted to get, like, the ones I just checked was, again, Dawn Vampirella number one, the Midtown exclusives, the Walking Dead New York Comic Con variant, Avengers X-Men Access 1 signed by Adam Kubert, the Thor number one Midtown, you know, again, just the basic ones. This is also one that has a bunch of people doing Star Wars sketch covers.
Yep.
I'd probably get a few of the variants of Star Wars 1. But again, there's a Bob Burger number one variant. You know.
Show's barely hanging on.
Yeah.
Does anybody buy the comic?
Yeah. You know, who knows? Hawkeye, it's almost Deadpool,
like, hey, we're going to put out a Pink Lady and Jeff comic. Yeah. Okay. Who cares?
So I was looking forward in Gemstone Publishing. They got a bunch of the books, like the reprint stuff, like Buck Rogers and the 21st Century Dailies, the Johnny Hazard Dailies. Actually, I think that might be Hermes Press. But either way, you know, these are the type of hardcovers I'd want to keep in stock. I'd want to keep the Overstreets in stock.
I'll say this, the Overstreet Comic Book Marketplace yearbook that they're, you know, still got up there. I bought that. It is worthless.
There's a few articles that were interesting, but you know, I read it and I kind of set it aside. I haven't gone back to it.
What I really wanted was the, what they call the market research stuff. And it was very much the same old dealers talking about the same old stuff. There was no new information. The articles were very much written for people who don't know. It's like, hey, did you know the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was first a comic book? And the guys who created it, they self-published it. And it was black and white. Did you know that? Did you know that Batman was created in the 1930s? Okay. Yeah.
All right, Corey, jump forward to PS Art Books.
Is that the Roy Thomas stuff?
Yep.
Yes.
Oh.
You did skip over one where we would make a lot of money.
Is it Joe's Books?
No, it is the Disney Princesses and Disney Fairies.
That's Joe Books. Yep.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Take my money.
I had no idea how crazy people were for the Princesses and Frozen and all of that stuff.
See, I have a niece who's at that proper age.
Oh, dear God, that's a license to print money.
Yeah, and there was even one paper cut.
If we have limited shelf space and it comes down to G.I. Joe and Transformers versus the Disney Princesses.
Disney Princesses
times five.
You know, even a little further in paper cuts, they have a bunch of, there's Tinkerbell and the Pirate Fairy.
Yes.
Kissy Hollow games. I mean, you know, I sold a crap load of this stuff. Even if you just buy one, you sit it in the kids section. But we're going to have a good kids section.
But the Roy Thomas stuff, the Roy Thomas presents this, Roy Thomas presents
beautiful.
This.
Beautiful. Expensive.
Here's the problem with it. This is all public domain stuff.
Ah, we talked about that last time.
This is all scans that they are printing in very nice books. But unless they've got some source that they are not mentioning, these are all public domain scans that are available on the internet on a number of websites that put up, you know, basically legal scan comics. I'm reading through Crime Does Not Pay. I'm buying the Dark Horse books and I'm noticing, oh, that's a scan of, that's this scan. And for, I think what, most of these are $50 or $60 each.
Yeah.
you're not going to get a lot of people who like this stuff who don't already know that they can read it online for free.
So is there anything in this pile that you'd want to stock?
I would just order what people order. I don't think these are ones that are going to sell off the shelf simply because if I want to read The Heap, do I want to pay $50 or do I just want to go over to comics.org? Boom, there it is. And it's the exact same scan.
What about Doctor Who from Titan Comics?
Those I think will sell.
Well, you don't want to put them in the window.
Oh, yes.
How about Penguins of Madagascar?
I don't know enough about that property, but I guess there are like four or five movies now.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things like The Princesses. It's either for you or it isn't. I found it fun to watch when I was like stuck somewhere on a deployment. But,
I don't hate it. I don't hate any of this stuff because most of it I don't read. But I think Penguins of Madagascar, you're going to get a lot more mileage out of than some other thing because it's what the kids
want.
It's
current.
Now. Yeah.
And then, of course, you get
kids comics. It depends on whether we get kids coming in the shop, too, because at the big shop, you had kids coming in. At the little shops, you didn't.
Mm-mm.
But if you've got soda and candy and the weird sort of candy and soda and that sort of strange stuff we had, kids came in and they would buy comics. I want to point out, first off, you know, I'm a huge fan of Top Shelf.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the second book in the March series.
Oh, I would work my ass off to get John Lewis to come into the shop.
Yes. And he is going to be on The Daily Show. He's going to be on Colbert Report. He's going to be all over TV pushing this thing. He's going to be on NPR. He's going to be, this is a book that's going to be pushed mainstream media very, very hard. So if we are a shop with a lot of foot traffic, this is a book that's going to sell very, very well. If we could get him in the shop, we would sell hundreds of copies.
Which would, you know, and again, there, we haven't gotten to him, and I don't know if we're going to, but DK Publishing does a lot of tie-ins with stuff. I mean, wrestling, Spider-Man comics. I don't even know what the books are they're pushing this month are, because we haven't gotten to the book section yet. But we would probably have a book connection, so we would be able to get these things in, and that's how we would probably want to stock them. Top Shelf, I know we could order direct from if we wanted to. So if we were lucky enough to score John Lewis for a signing, we could get a hold of him and just, I mean, Top Shelf, and we could probably get these books in real heavy.
There we are. We're at Viz.
Well, I did, before we get to Viz, there was, Tomorrow's Publishing, of course, does the Modern Master program. They do the Flash Companions, the Quality Companions. I'd make sure we have whatever's in print in stock because those are good books. Valiant, whatever our history says. I don't
yeah.
I don't know. I'm not really all that interested in it. Was this the fourth time they've tried to bring it back?
Well, here's what I wrote. You can tell me if I'm wrong. Valiant, after an okay start, they've landed with a big wet thump. The books are by second tier guys from Marvel who aren't there anymore. They have tons of variant covers and no one is talking about them on Facebook, on message boards, in podcasts. Everybody's, oh, I want Valiant back. I want Valiant back. I want Valiant back. And now Valiant's back and you know, they're not selling 10,000 copies nationwide. They've turned, what is it? What was the big crossover?
Unity.
Unity. They've turned Unity into a regular series. And it just seems to be there. So I would order none for the shelf, maybe one or two for the shelf.
Yeah. I mean, that's like I said in the beginning. If it's a regular comic, we'll order a couple for the shelf. You know, I mean, we're going to be monitoring this. So if we suddenly discover that, you know, nobody's buying copies of Archer and Armstrong, you know, I'd have a talk with Corey and said, do we just want to let it drop, or are we going to carry it because we are the big store? You know, and again, when I had my shop, I was big enough where I could carry these smaller titles. But there's also a big changeover in the previews from when I had my store till now, because a lot of, you know, in some way we're kind of giving short thrift or shift to a lot of this, but there's a lot of graphic novels and things that we're just kind of glossing over. And as I went through here, I put, yes, like under virtual graphics, they have The Last Days of Mankind graphic novel. And I read it. It was interesting enough. Yeah, I would order one for the shelf. You know, things like that. We talked a lot about the March books that John Lewis is writing. But even just going backwards, I mean, we skipped over the Michael Moorcock libraries. Yeah, I'd probably order one for the shelf. But, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. With comics, I can, you know, order a few. They're not that much money out of my pocket. If it sells, great. If not, something that does sell, like X-Men or Star Wars or whatever, is going to cover the mistake I made buying a small independent book. But that's what's going to make our store stand out from other shops, because they know, hey, I missed a copy of the regular show number 20, but I know these guys will have it because they have everything. Now, you said
then this. Again, one of the other things about your shop that I thought was a good idea is, in a way, you could become very ruthless. It's, you know what? I've put two on the shelf for the past 6 months. I've sold none. Why am I wasting money? And I think it's very important for fans to realize that when we buy a book, if it doesn't sell, we're eating that cost. So in a lot of ways, it's, why aren't you ordering enough of this book? It's, well, we are ordering enough. It's not selling. And a lot of the, what they call standard attrition is probably, it's not like it was in the 80s where, up, I sold 7 off the shelf. I was lucky to sell those. Better cut my shelf order to 6. Those retailers are all gone. A lot of retailers, even the Stone Arch Books down in, Galesburg, Illinois, tiny little shop. They had a POS system. I picked up a couple books. They scanned them. They said, oh, you know, I see you've picked up issues 1 and 3. We still have 2 in the back. We dug that up. I don't have 4.
And
shops know how many they're selling. So we're not running a charity. If the Dynamite books aren't selling off the shelf, we're not going to keep putting them on the shelf.
The other thing, too, that we got to remember, and this is what I did with Hot Comics and to a lesser extent Crazy. If I've got 15 people that buy Quantum and Woody and I don't sell any on the shelf, I may just put one on the shelf just to show that I have it. I figure the 15 people, you've paid to have that one on the shelf.
Yeah.
Or I may just bundle, you know, I may, what do you call it? Feathering, where I have like all the Valiant books and I'll just feather them so you can kind of see a little bit of the full cover, but not the entire cover. I hate doing it, but sometimes you do that just to save space. You know, You got issue 6 of a 6-issue miniseries that didn't sell. Well, I'm not going to take up 6 spots on the wall, but I'll feather 1, 2, 3, 5, up to 5, and then 6 will be there. So hopefully somebody's smart enough to come up and go, oh, look, there's 6. Well, the other 5 are here. Let's buy it as a set just because it's a slow week. I don't know. It happens.
Yeah, rare, once in a while people will do that.
If you got something to say about Viz, go for it, because I got nothing to say.
I think we would already know if we have
a manga group.
Yeah.
And if we had an employee that knew manga and could actually talk intelligently about it.
Yep.
Zen Scope is the last, one of the last comics. Actually, the last comic company. And again, they get by with Hooters. I mean, big Hooters. the type that fanboys like. Their covers are usually pretty. The artwork inside is pretty, so usually it matches up pretty well. Big on variant covers. Big Mike was big on these books. He knew a lot about them. He knew which ones sold, which ones didn't. Again, for me, we'd have to, again, whatever sells, we'll put on the shelf. If it doesn't sell, I'm not going to worry about it because there's no way I think I'd be able to pick up every variant. I see a lot of guys at cons selling these. So
yeah.
I don't know if they're just ordering a lot to get the variants or whatever.
Whatever.
I think we should, we got like 20 minutes before we hit the 2 hour mark. Let's just cover through magazines and books and then maybe,
have a regular episode next week.
Well, I don't know. How close is Festivus?
Yeah, we're getting there.
All right. The art books, when I had my store, I sold a lot of them, but the ones I sold were usually $20 books. They were like, sketchbooks. Like I'm looking here on page 401, Sean Andrew Murray sketchbook collection edition. But then I'm looking at some of these other ones. There's like a $30 book. There's a $40 book. Here's a $100 book. I can't even say the name. Soreyama.
I don't know.
Japanese guy. I'd actually order one of these because I know if I can't sell it in the shop at $100, it's one of those that's going to go sell on eBay. There's John Buscema's Life in Sketches. You know, I guess it'd be a kind of a hit or miss as to if I'm actually going to carry it. I mean, I'm just looking page 1 and 2. I have Gary Anderson, the comic collection. It's a $40 book hardcover. Now, I mentioned earlier, you know, if we had a book account, some of these I may order through a book account because the difference with books, I can return them. So if I want to order Marvel, the Avengers Vault, and I think these books are really cool when I find them, the Vault books, because they're just kind of neat with all the different removable reproductions and things they have inside there. But they're expensive. They're $35. They're like Christmas books. They yeah. come out with a lot of them, but if I can order them through a book publisher, that would allow me to get a few of them for the shelf, and if it doesn't sell, send it back for credit, order something else. They've got the Silver Age of Comic Book Art hardcover. Maybe. 12-cent Archie soft cover for $26. Yeah, why not? Again, these are, you know, these would be back in the book of, where we have all the history stuff of comics yeah. that we'd want to carry. Going forward, The World According to Iron Man. I think that's a DK book. The World According to Thor. Here's Batman, The Story of the Dark Knight. Hardcover, but this is $17, and it's more of a young reader book. If I have one, I'd probably just put it down with the kid books. The next page has a big thing. DC Superheroes, Batman Origin, Superman Origin. It doesn't say who publishing these. They're just books on, they're young reader books with Superman, Green Lantern, Batman, and the type of anime style that we've seen in their animated shows. Batman You Choose stories. You know, these are kids books. They're $5 a piece. They're $7 a piece. Yeah, I'm going to carry one or two on the shelf for the kids. Going forward, the G-Man Super Journal, Awesome Origins. $13 hardcover. Sure. Why not? G-Man is a Chris. I can't even say his name.
Eliopoulos.
Thank you. You know, Disney Infinity Character Encyclopedia. I've raved about that. It's already outdated because they haven't covered the Marvel characters or any of the other ones. These are the type of books I would order through. Hopefully we could get an account with DK Direct. On page 405, you got Pinocchio, the Disney Epic hardcover. $50 hardcover, I would be prone to order one of those, and that would be back in the under glass books, because it's a high-end Disney collectible. Eventually it's going to sell. Eventually I'll get tired of it and put it on eBay. The next run of things are Doctor Who CDs. I'm prone to want to order them, but I don't know a lot about them. I don't know. I've only know of about two stores in town, Uncle Hugo's and Dreamhaven, that actually carry them. Source carries a smattering of them. What's your feeling on these, Corey? Are these worth carrying because nobody else does, or are they just something that's online and we should skip?
When it comes to books and DVD, when we get to DVDs, I said do not order any. But CDs, people don't order them that I see. When I go to Uncle Hugo's, they have the same CDs they've had for 10 years.
Yeah.
And if people really want them, they're going to get them online. But more and more, you know, if I can click on iTunes, so I have the whole thing now. Or I could click here. I have the whole thing now. I've bought it, and it's on my computer, and I don't have to have a physical thing. Being around my nieces and nephews and my son for the holiday, it amazed me how little they want the actual physical things anymore.
Yeah.
They don't want DVDs. They don't want books. They don't want CDs. They put it on a device, and when they're done with it, it's gone. So with any of the CDs and stuff, I would order it if somebody wanted it. For books, if they're returnable, great. But we're going to buy it. Let's say it's a $35 book. Now, if we were to get it through Diamond, it would be $26.
Yeah, we don't get a really good discount on books through Diamond.
I could buy it on Amazon for $20.
Yeah. A little bit better than maybe going through a book publisher, but not by much.
Yeah. And through Diamond, it's not returnable. Through the publisher, it might be returnable. But like the Vault books, I picked up the Marvel Vault. I picked it up remaindered at Barnes & Noble. Oh. A lot of the DK books, I don't see them on the shelf in the regular part. I just see them in the remainder table. Now, one thing Schindler's did that I thought was cool is they had a setup with the remainders, and they would just get in remaindered books. But I don't know if you even want to do that, because it kind of would, you know, we've got all this high-end stuff. Do you really want to chintz it up with a bunch of leftover art books that nobody bought?
Yeah. See, and that's even, there's a how-to section with how to draw Batman, Superman, how to draw Mickey Mouse, how to draw Archie. But these are $15 to $20 books.
Yeah.
That's a little higher than I think a kid's going to want.
Yep.
There is one book I would probably buy just one of. Neil Gaiman, The Truth is a Cave in the Black Mountain, limited edition hardcover. Bound, illustrated, signed, piece of DNA in it. I don't know. $75. Put it back there. I wouldn't order a lot of these because we have one disadvantage in town that other towns don't have. We got that damn fine, handsome man, Greg Getter at Dreamhaven. Him and Neil are friends because Greg believed in Neil long before Neil was Neil. And
believed in him when he was still just a comic book writer, and he didn't.
Yep.
Nobody knew about his prose.
So Neil will sign special things for Greg. If you ever need a Neil Gaiman signed thing, and believe me, if I have a daughter who's two daughters who are big on Neil Gaiman, they love anything he's signed. I'm spoiled. I can just go over to Dreamhaven and browse through his stuff. I'm bound to find something.
Yeah.
A limited thing like this is kind of cool. I would definitely pick one up and toss it on the shelf. The next section is magazines. And actually, before we go there, Corey, would you pick up any of the Pulp volumes?
No.
They got like Savage, Doc Savage, Shadow.
Yeah, they've got all that stuff. The thing is, Dreamhaven gets them. I don't know why they get them, because they're still sitting there, and eventually they have to sell them for below cost.
Okay.
It has a very limited audience, and if Dreamhaven, the only people in town who are carrying it, can't get people to buy them, I doubt we would be able to get that audience.
There, in magazines, Eagle Moss collections, Batman Automobile, DC Chess, Marvel Chess, Marvel Fact Files, Hulk, Star Trek. Basically, you're buying a limited edition Batmobile DC character comic chess piece, and it comes with a magazine. I've seen these stacked at the Source. I mean, the Batmobile stuff looks kind of cool. They have tons of the chess. They have tons of the characters. I don't know what to think on these. I mean, they're cool when you see them, but I know like with Star Trek, you can also buy it direct from them and they will ship it to you every month. It's one of those things where they're hard to display because you got to display this small 3D piece, be it a Batmobile, a Star Trek ship, or a Hulk. And then there's a magazine with it that when people buy this piece, you want to give them the magazine with it.
Yeah.
I've bought one in my life. I bought the Phantom Stranger one because I like Phantom Stranger. And then I got the magazine with it, and the magazine was nothing I didn't know. What do you think, Corey? Yay, nay?
If people are ordering them, yes. But like you said, you know, if there are stores in town with stacks and stacks and stacks of these, it means people aren't buying them. The magazines that I think we should get are the Tomorrow's magazines. Alter Ego, Jack Kirby Collector, when Back Issue comes out, when Draw comes out. Those are the ones that we would stock, the ones that are comic-centric that you can't get elsewhere.
I would also.
They've got the horror mags, like Famous Monsters of Filmland, Monster Bash, Rue Morgue.
Fandora. I actually.
Dreamhaven gets those, and they don't do well there.
I was able at Hot Comics to maybe sell one.
Yeah.
And I also had, like, there was a one guy, Dixon, who ordered all that horror stuff.
Yep.
So, but I mean, Fangora, I probably would. Famous Monster, Filmland. I don't know about the other two. Maybe one. Non-sports update. One or two. Because we would carry non-sports cards. You know, we probably won't even delve into that. Doctor Who magazine, Star Trek magazine, Star Wars magazine, Walking Dead magazine. Maybe.
Yeah, but a lot of those are going to be, I know Walking Dead magazines at the grocery stores I go to.
Interesting.
Cause it's,
well, then we carry the PX version instead of, Hobby Japan is one I would carry if we had Japanese stuff because I bought one and I'd always sell it. So, that would not be a problem. Again, Star Wars, Star Trek, yeah, I don't know, one, two, I don't know. Definitely the PX meaning preview exclusive cover, not the regular cover.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about non-sports cards, but there weren't any offered this month.
Yeah.
Sports cards, again, when I had Hot Comics, we carried sports cards because my brother-in-law came in and he would actually monitor the sports cards, and they're a lot like stock market. Only in baseball cards. If a guy's having a good year, his card goes up. If he's having a bad year, his card goes down. If he's going Hall of Fame, his old cards might go up. If he just got indicted for beating his kid bloody with a switch, it might go up. I don't know.
I remember at Shinders, if somebody got caught, somebody got caught breaking the law, their card went up. Here's the thing, Joe. Worked in your shop for how long? The whole time.
I don't remember when you started.
10, 11 years? I don't remember selling a single pack of sports cards.
I remember selling them. It's just the problem was you only got the crap. If suddenly the Topps 2015 Heritage Baseball trading cards became the hottest property on the planet, I wouldn't get any.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't a comic. I didn't have a big history of sports cards. However, if say the DC Heroes Green Lantern New 52 Green Lantern bust became the hottest thing on the planet, I would get it because I ordered toys, therefore Diamond would put me on top. And yeah. So I would get it. So.
Sports cards. I was at Schindler's during the sports card boom of the 80s, and I left right before that market collapsed, and it collapsed worse than the comic market.
And I always talk about my brother-in-law pulled out because he saw it coming, and we didn't have anything. All those little sports card shops that used to be around disappeared. The big one that I thought for sure would weather it disappeared. You know, they all came into my store looking, trying to figure out how to sell comics. And I was like, dude, if I knew how, I'd be retired already. You know,
yeah.
I had an economy of scale with Hot Comics. The Source has it. In our imaginary store we're talking about, we have it. You know, which would allow me to do some fun things like order the Harley Quinn bomb t-shirt.
Now I have a note on shirts, and correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But 90% of the shirts you got off the discount sheet.
When I first started,
would say that would be the way to buy them.
When I first started, Capital City, very forward looking, offered a t-shirt package for $50. You got, or was it $100? You got, basically it was $5 a piece for whatever t-shirt. And you got all sorts of stuff. So I was able to fill a rack. And I went out to a used place, filled a rack. And then I would continue to fill it, but I'd be very, very specific about what I would order. For example, Harley Quinn's hot, I'd probably order it. Let's see, Catwoman, sure, why not? Star Wars, definitely. Megatron, yes. Spider-Man 2099, yes. I'd make sure I get all the sizes. But when these got there, I would sell those at regular price. I also carried XXL. Believe me, boys, you sell a lot of XXL. I would probably get the Spider-Woman, you know, where she's going, Hulk, make me a sandwich. You know, I mean, a Walking Dead hoodie, definitely. Gotham City Police Department, yes. But I didn't order everything. And the ones I did order, I made sure I had all the sizes. And I've talked about it before, where I'd sell them would be at the con and at Christmas. So basically, you'd blow out most of your money and you'd sell it then, and then you just build up. And like Corey said, if I saw a t-shirt on the clearance rack, you know I'd order them and just filter them in. So it's kind of like I got them in initially. I got people buying them and they didn't even notice that the price had gone up. I could sell everything for $10. And then as I replaced the shirts, they all went up. People would buy them. People would look through them. I don't think they were reorderable for the most part. But, you know, once you got that going, it was very lucrative. It worked really well. And plus you had other places you could go to buy t-shirts. I would be cautious though, especially with ordering, mainstream ones, because you're going to find the next Avenger movie, Target, Walmart, Kmart are all going to have Avenger t-shirts. So you probably want to stay away from that. Guardians of the Galaxy t-shirts? Or it's actually a Guardians of the Galaxy in concert. So it's got like them on the front and then like concert dates on the back. Now that's kind of cool. That one might be good. You know, I might do a solo Joe on toys. Because
that might be a good idea because I don't know nothing about those toys.
Yeah, because I mean, I look through these and I mean, I'm just going to go through, like they have a Star Trek Select Worf figure. Yes. Godzilla figure, vinyl bank. I'll order a couple. We talked about Carnage. They got a Sin City resin bust with Marv. Oh yeah. Joker classic bust. Yeah. I mean, if there are some figures, like there's the Avenger Titan Heroes. No, because they're already at Targets. Batman Retro, 1966. Yeah, I'd order those. I can't see a lot of people buying Retro series. The toys would be tough. I mean, I'd probably do Living Dolls, the Living Dead dolls, just because, oddly enough, I did sell them in the shop. But the nice thing about the toys now that wasn't there before is if I get these toys, odds are good they're being sold for the same price at Toys R Us, maybe Walmart. And I'd be very fussy with what I buy. I mean, I'm not really big on Legos. I should be, because some of those Lego sets, when they go out of print, go crazy. I'm not big on models, because if you're a model collector, you go to Hobbies Plus and you buy your model stuff there. When you get into statues, I mean, they had a Guardians of the Galaxy Rocket and Groot statue. Oh, yeah. Definitely one, because it's a $500 statue. Again, that crazy cat from Japan, Soire Rama, he has a 1/4 scale Iron Man for $500. Maybe. But when you get later on and you get into some of the imported ones, as I'm paging forward, well, there's some Sailor Moon ones. I mean, I'd be on Sailor Moon. One thing that's happened a lot with some of the Japanese figures, especially the girly figures, they went up in price. I mean, when I used to sell them for $25 to $50, now they're anywhere from $100 to $200. I don't know if they sell anymore. You know, again, if I had a history between then and now, Doctor Who, I'd probably order heavy on. I still haven't gotten to the page I'm looking for. Imports. Yeah, here we are. Just the different statues. I mean, they got Marvel, they got DC. There's a Soul of Chogyakuten Mazinger Z action figure. If what you and I would call a Shogun Warrior, $82. You damn right I'm getting one of those, maybe two. Because that's the type of stuff that I've gone on and on that are so cool looking, someone's going to come in and just melt on that. Corey and I would have to sit down and really talk about they have a section called collectible and novelties and previews, and they're basically things that you can buy everywhere else. You know, because, you know, would we want a Doctor Who floating pen? Maybe. Spider-Man Heat Sense Change mug. I sold tons of mugs. I would think we'd have a good one. Assassin's Creed pint set. Magic 8-Ball? Oh yeah, we gotta have a Magic 8-Ball. Games, unless we had somebody we knew, I'd probably stay away from. And as Corey said, DVDs? No. It's hard. I mean, in this day and age of downloading, it would have to be, I think the last DVD I went crazy for was my Batman set. You know, everything else, even like Star Trek Next Generation Blu-ray, I'm like, I can watch it when I want on Netflix. And if it disappears on Netflix, I can watch it somewhere else. I don't see anything else that is so special, that's so cool. You know, again, there's a Star Trek Catan board game. If you play Settlers of Catan, it's cool, but it's going to be at Games by James. It's probably better off being sold by a store like The Source. I would want to carry HeroClix, because that seems to be a natural thing. I would definitely want to carry Magic. I don't see many other card games, to tell you the truth. Magic's about the only one left that... Venture Time has card game. Is that something we want to carry? Probably, because, you know, we're going to have Adventure Time stuff. But again, you know, the stuff that I think would be fun are the things you're going to walk in to the store and you are not going to see anywhere else.
Yeah.
You know, and earlier on, I was going on and on, and I love it. That Death Dealer mug from Dark Horse. That's cool. And, you know, those are the type of things that you're going to walk in and that will set our store apart from everybody else. And that's what did it with her Hot Comics. I mean, yeah, maybe they weren't that hot on, you know, Big Man and Little China. I'll give you that. But they did like the jeweler display where they went through and they saw all these buttons and cards and pins and phone cards and pogs and shot glasses and Kubrick figures and mugs, and then they look up on the wall and there's a 2 5-foot tall Jack Skellingtons, and over here I've got a bunch of Shogun Warriors, and here's a whole wall of Star Wars toys and things like that. But not only the current ones, but also older ones and also vintage ones. You know, we definitely want to be picking up on old classic collectible toys, because they're hard to find outside of eBay, but to have them in a big store and we're millionaires, so we can do it.
Well, and I think here's my thing on the nostalgia thing. For a one pop, yeah, a toy, a book, a this, a that, a one pop works. Whenever they do a Kiss comic, the first issue sells really well, and none of them have lasted past 12 issues. Because it's, oh wow, I like Kiss! And then they don't come back for the next one because it's just, oh cool, I got this Kiss thing.
And it's really hard to get people, especially nowadays, into that monthly, weekly habit
yep.
of coming back. I mean, really, guys like you listening and gals and Corey and I we're kind of a dying breed because, you know, my daughters, they love reading comics. When they want them, they'll download them or they'll dig through my collection.
Yeah.
Or they will do something else. You know, I count myself lucky that I had 10 good years and I had fantastic customers that they came in and actually bought stuff from me week after week, month after month. I count myself lucky that I had a clientele that would come in every so often. There was one guy we called Bob the Toy Guy. He'd come in once a month. As sure as God made apples, he would zero in on the newest toy I had or a collectible toy, and he'd probably buy it. But he didn't come in weekly. I had the one guy, God bless him, he'd buy all my AC Western comics. $5 a pop. I would buy them, put one on the shelf. They would sit every 6 months or so. He'd come in and buy all of them. And he did that all the way until I don't know what happened to him because I don't think Brian bought those after I sold the shop back to him. You know.
You had the one guy who came in whenever there was a sale and just spent the day digging through the cheap books.
Yeah.
I think for any comic shop, your subscriber base is your backbone. You base your orders on it. You pay your rent with it. A good shop has enough subscribers that from what they buy, you pay basically your bills so that everything else is your profit, your special stuff, your advertising, all that.
And we have something now that they didn't have when I had the big store. And I helped Christy with her shop and I did when I had Crazy Comics. And it kind of is fading, but the online presence, because we would have an online presence. Maybe we'd have a eBay store. We definitely have our own store through Dream. God, I'm having a brain fart. Who's our sponsor again? It was like 2 hours ago we talked about them.
Oh, well, here they are again.
This show has sponsors, and those sponsors are our best friends. They could be your best friends, too. Our first sponsor is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best bar none web host in the whole known universe. If you need a website, DreamHost.com is the host you need to go to. And if you use the code CRAZY, K-R-A-Y-Z, you get $20 off your first year. Just go to DreamHost.com. Do you need healthy snacks? You probably do. We all do. How would you like them where they show up without you even having to order them? Where you just get a subscription, they show up so that when you've run out, they show up again. Graze.com has great healthy snacks and you get a free box if you use the code CORYS3R5P. That's CORYS3R5P. Your first box and your fifth box are free. If you're listening to this show, you're one of the smartest people in the whole known universe, and you're probably fed up with paying too much for razors. So join Dollar Shave Club. They deliver great blades every month for just a few bucks. No more schlepping to the drugstore, no more overpriced, ridiculous shave tech that you don't need. Razor plans start at just $3 a month. Check it out and let us know what you think. Just go to DollarShaveClub.com/crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. If you'd like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or the Solitaire Rose podcast, We'd love it. Just go ahead and email me at corey.strode@gmail.com, subject advertising. You can also send us emails there. We love to get them. We love to read them. And most of the time, we can build a whole show around a three-line email. So go ahead and email us at corey.strode@gmail.com, or you can call or leave a message that we will play on the air at 952-856-0519. Thanks.
There we go. You could set up a shop with those guys, and I that's one of my goals for next year. It was a goal for this year, but you know how I am about my goals.
That's why you never have goals.
Exactly.
You have themes.
And my theme is, what am I going to call my ever chaotic comic collection in 2015? We should have a contest for that to see whoever comes up with something. I will give them something decent, not just a pile of something, but something out of my collection worth of some bucks if they can come up with something. I mean, I called it Joe's collection, what's on eBay this week. What did I find in my collection? What's going sold? What I don't know. I've had so many themes on it. But we'll worry about that next podcast.
Yep. Next podcast is back to normal.
Yep. And I will tell you, we will never, ever try this again. We got 4 shows out of this?
Yep.
And it was.
Although I do think we need to have a really good debate on nostalgia. I think this showed that you and I have a real difference of opinion.
Yeah.
And I think it would be a fun discussion.
Yeah, I think that would be fun. And ultimately, I think it boils down onto the property, too.
Yeah.
You know, so I think first thing we'll hammer that offline, figure out what is nostalgia.
Actually, Joe. The Festivus show of Solitaire Rose Radio is about nostalgia, because the question I am asking people, and I'm asking you, the listener, and you, Joe, to answer this question: what do I miss? Send your answer to corey.strode@gmail.com. Put "what do I miss" as the subject, and that's my it's going to be kind of my Festivus show, kind of like the episode I did on beloved childhood objects. So think about that. What do I miss?
That's a tough one, because a lot of the things I miss I can go find.
I have gotten some wonderful answers. I actually, when I was down in Illinois, asked members of my family, so I have that as well.
Are you thinking things too, like I miss the fact that we will never have a new original Battlestar Galactica episode?
I am simply asking the question, what do I miss? What do you miss?
That's a good question. I'll have to think about that.
Yes, I left it intentionally vague.
Yes, and that's the way you are. You are a vague son of a... Oh.
Well, believe it or not, kids, you have listened to us blather on about the previews book for over 4 hours.
Yes, God bless you. And if you don't believe in God, may the big hairy spaghetti monster bless you.
Festivus is coming.
When's our Festivus show?
I think our Festivus show will come out the week of Festivus, and Festivus is, as always, December 23rd.
Oh, I'm off that day.
We'll have the airing of the grievances.
Sounds good. I'm off that week, so I got 3 weeks now to work on grievances. Or I should say maybe narrow it down to just one notebook instead of the 5 I filled out.
There you go. Well, as we say every week, kids, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most. Joe?
My mom's feeling great. Somebody hit my music. I feel like dancing.
Funk is on a roll. Funk is on a roll.
Hey, yo. Can somebody call my mom?